I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to talk about the war on you and your culture going on here. Megyn Kelly joins us. We're going to talk about the NYPD, this funeral for a fallen cop. There's so much to get to tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's have a talk about culture, nations, tribes. This talk may very well offend you. Maybe you'll love it. Don't really care. But it's in the news now. Why is it in the news? Well, yesterday was Easter. Yesterday was Resurrection Day, a day when Christian people celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Savior of all who believe in him. The Biden White House, well, Joe, I don't know, celebrated?
What is so special about this egg roll?
Well, what's so special is this, this is the people's house. And you expect over 40,000 people to be here, the largest ever. And we just like to open it up to places and let people see this is their place.
Okay. All right. So that's obviously not the story. Everyone knows about the Easter story, the White House version of the Easter story. So what is the White House version? Well, the Easter egg roll was today. Easter itself was yesterday. Yesterday, obviously, it was all Tranny Visibility Day. We'll get to that in a moment. Today was the Easter egg roll, and what they decided today at the White House was there were no religious symbols allowed. They were outright banned, meaning if you wanted to have, say, a cross today, would be a very common sight on Easter. No, it's banned. If you wanted to have any kind of an image of an empty tomb, signifying the empty tomb of Jesus, nope, absolutely banned. All that stuff was banned from the White House today. Okay? Well, when you contrast that with the fact that Democrat after Democrat after Democrat after Democrat took to the microphone, went to social media on Easter, on the holiest day of the year for Christians, and announced that it was Trans Visibility Day.
Today on Trans Day of Visibility, we celebrate the trans individuals in our communities and recognize their struggles for recognition and increasingly survival in the face of unfathomable hate.
On Trans Day of Visibility, my message is simple. I see you and I've got your back.
From all of us here at the Department of Education, happy Trans Day of Visibility.
On this Transgender Day of Visibility, we must continue to make focused and ongoing efforts to end inequities, eliminate the impacts of injustice, and improve access to care for everyone. Today of all days, I stand proud and visible with my fellow transgender Americans. Happy Transgender Day of Visibility.
Okay. And keep in mind, that was what, 30 seconds? We could have played you 5 minutes of the Democrats, senators, governors, congressmen. We could have done the entire show. It could have been an hour-long loop of Democrats declaring yesterday Trans Visibility Day. All right, so let's have a talk. Because there's a lot of conversation out there today about this. Well, Jesse, March, that day has always been Trans Visibility Day. It's been always the last day of March for 10 years. It wasn't Trans Visibility. Okay, first of all. I have something that I say to my sons all the time. In fact, one of their jobs is to empty the dishwasher in the house. That's one of their chores. And one of my boys had taken a spatula that didn't quite fit in the spatula drawer. And instead of reorganizing it, he just put it in another drawer. And then when we confronted him about it, he said, well, I wasn't sure where it went. And you know what I said to him? I said, don't play stupid with me. You're a straight A student. You can do a lot of things. You don't get to play stupid with me. If you're someone on the right defending this as a day that just happened to fall on that day, don't play stupid with me. The White House could have abstained. Every Democrat in America, in fact, could have abstained from putting out a message on Easter about it being Trans Visibility Day. They instead decided to go all in. New York Governor Kathy Hochul lit up the state's landmarks in pink and white and blue. It wasn't like a passive thing. Oh, whoops, was that on today? Democrat after Democrat after Democrat did that on purpose. They knew exactly what they were doing. And please stop playing stupid. They knew what they were doing. Now, the question is, why? Why are they doing it? Well, let's have a larger talk here. It's about more than just Trans Visibility Day or the White House or something like that. It's a talk we haven't had in a while, but it is an important talk, and it can be a very offensive, uncomfortable talk. Maybe this talk will be uncomfortable to you. Nations have religions, all of them. Does it matter what nation it is? Does it matter how big or how small it is? Men, all men, we are created to worship something. It is something inside of all of us. Everyone does. Doesn't matter whether you think you do or do not, everyone worships something. Nations will have a religion. Even a tiny tribe, they'll have a religion. Now, why? Beyond our nature to worship something, you will have a religion because religion is the sun of your society. No, not the Lord and Savior. I'm talking about the sun. You know how the sun is the center of our universe and everything orbits around it? Everything orbits around your national religion, whatever that religion may be. So if you're in Saudi Arabia, your national religion is Islam, as you well know. What does that mean? Well, everything in that society, the education, you walk into their school system, you think you'll see any references to Allah or Islam? Entertainment. If you sit down at night, long day, and you set up for some pita bread and hummus or whatever they eat over there, do you think maybe you'll see references to Islam on the television set, on the news at night? You will see Islamic references all over the public buildings, the landmarks, the head of the nation, the royal family of Saudi Arabia. Do you think they ever reference Islam, Allah, the Prophet Muhammad in any way? Of course they do. Why? Why is it everywhere? Because it is their national religion, so everything orbits around it. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's their national religion. In Israel, it would be Judaism. In the United States of America, it used to be Christianity. The country was founded by Christians. No, I don't give a crap if you believe that or not. It's just a historical fact. It was founded by Bible-believing Christians. And our laws, our society, our education system, every part of it has kind of been orbiting around that. But communism, you see, communism is not an ideology. It's not an economic system. Communism is a religion, as I've explained to you many, many, many times. There's a reason the communists took over the Soviet Union and burned down the Orthodox churches. There's a reason they took over China and they tore down the Buddhist temples. There's a reason communists in America, with the gay portion of their agenda, there's a reason they took the religious symbol, the rainbow, which was a promise from God to the people to never flood the earth again, and they made it their symbol. And it's not a freaking accident that Trans Visibility Day just happens to fall right around Easter time. So if you get lucky, you may just be able to stick it to all of those Christians. We have a new religion on the move in the United States of America. Whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. You have to acknowledge that there is a religious war going on, and you must acknowledge this. Whatever you believe, this country will have a religion. People who don't have any belief system, and maybe that's you, and I'm not passing any judgment on anybody. I'm not qualified to do so. Maybe you don't have any religious beliefs. Okay, that's fine, but you better understand there's no such thing as a secular nation. It's not a thing that has ever existed in the history of the world. We will have a religion, not one hopefully that dominates all others and excludes all others. I'm not saying that, but the country will have a central belief system. And if the Christians of the United States of America don't get off their butts, get out of the pews, and start marching like an army to the voting booth to sweep Democrats out of power in this country, the new one, I promise you're not going to like it very much. All right? Now, speaking about all this Trans Visibility Day and all this other garbage going on at the White House, let's talk to Megyn Kelly about it. Joining me now, the amazing host of the Megyn Kelly Show. She's also a journalist. You need to catch her show on Sirius XM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday at noon Eastern. May I also recommend the YouTube? Subscribe at youtube.com/Megyn Kelly. Megyn, okay, the White House is obviously trying to do something that you and I have seen them do many, many, many times. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have Tranny Day, but also let everyone know, no, I'm not a God-hating savage. So they're trying to walk this fine line where they can do Tranny Visibility Day, but no, the president's a devout Catholic. Sorry, I'm not buying it.
No, I know, me neither. And look, they got a bunch of blowback for celebrating Trans Visibility Day on what turned out to be Easter. And people said, well, it's been on this particular date for 15 years now. It just so happens that Easter, which does move around, happened to coincide with it this year. Okay, fine. Why are we doing this? Why? Okay, 15 years ago, this is a very different thing, where this is a teeny tiny community that was getting bullied in too many circles. And it was like a way of saying, we see you. Okay. Now they're the bullies. Now they're taking over women's spaces and women's sports. We've medicalized this thing for young children who are having body parts chopped off. And so the more visibility this gets, never mind celebration by a White House, the more children are going to be at risk. So this is the last thing that they should be calling attention to, especially on Easter Sunday, when it's truly one of the most, arguably the most highest holy holiday within the Catholic and Christian religions. But he doesn't care. He's not actually an observant Catholic, obviously. Neither is Nancy Pelosi, despite, I'm like, she's the number one proponent of abortion in the nation. She wants to think she's still like our high priestess. We know she's not. Same for him. Every day he laments the overturning of Roe. In any event, I think that's the real problem here, is he's blindly promoting something that's going to hurt kids because he wants us to vote for him. It's completely cynical.
Megyn, for as long as I've been alive, we have wondered, at least I've wondered, and a lot of people on the right have wondered, when are these seemingly separate groups on the left going to realize they're at opposite ends, they're working towards opposite goals, and attack each other, right? Why is the climate change group the same thing as the blue-collar union group? These are both left-wing groups. Why is that a thing? That should not be a thing. But one thing about the Trans Visibility Day thing, the White House has a Latino page as well. And on their official English-speaking page, it was all tranny this and tranny that. On the Latino page, not one single mention of that, Megyn. A bunch of Easter stuff. Are we finally going to see left coalitions clash? Are we seeing the beginning of this?
I think we are. Look at the polls, right? Trump's doing better and better with Latinos and with Black voters as well, in particular Black men, who have had it. They've had about enough of this stuff, this cultural stuff in particular. And the Latino community tends to be Christian. And that Christian values, if you're actually living them, do not support transing our children, chopping off body parts because God got it wrong on you. You're actually secretly a girl. They don't believe in that. So they're not stupid at the White House. They understood who their voting bloc was, and that's why they didn't translate it into Spanish. But good luck, because I think the Latin voters, they understand perfectly well what the White House's stance on this is. I do think they're bleeding out on the culture wars. And to me, it's interesting because they don't seem to understand that. Whenever they try to appeal to these groups, they make ads for Black people talking about how great they are on DEI and how offensive Trump's language is, right? That's not what's motivating Black voters. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about immigration, like every other voters. They don't have some secret special group of voting concerns just because they're Black. This isn't 1960s America anymore. So I really think the Biden White House is getting that piece of their messaging wrong. And we're starting to see that flank of the Democrat Party turn red bit by bit. First, Latinos, not surprised since they're mostly Christian. But the Black community, too, is largely Christian. There are a lot of Black voters. That's how George W. Bush won re-election in 2004. They played into the gay marriage threat. A lot of Black voters were like, we're not ready for that. And it's kind of happening again without Trump having to push it very hard. It's Biden who's pushing them away.
Megyn, what was it that pushed them too far? Was it a thing? Was it the trannies in women's sports? Was that too far? I mean, when you're watching some high school volleyball player get a ball spiked off her face to the point that her mind still isn't working right. Was that what made America go, no? Was it the kid thing? What was it that had America finally go, okay, this is way beyond what I signed up for?
I think it was a combination. Like, I think after George Floyd, DEI became the thing, and, you know, race essentialism became the thing. Everybody started injecting it even more into school curricula. And then I can speak to this personally. In my school, not only white parents, black parents were having secret underground meetings about what BS this was and how we had to stop it. Well, times that by, you know, some infinite number since 2020 when we were going through it. On gender, it's been even worse. I mean, they're truly hurting children. And I think people have seen it. You see those things on Twitter with those girls who have no forearms left because they've tried to create a fake phallus on a child. Oof. A child. Little boys having their penises chopped off. And we're trying to pretend this is somehow empathetic. Girls getting hurt on sports fields from coast to coast with permanent damage, brain injuries and others, because we're trying to be empathetic to what? Boys? Megan Rapinoe's out there this weekend just lecturing another soccer player who's on the U.S. women's national team, trying to say, why aren't you for more inclusion? It's about being more inclusive. Toward what? Dudes in women's sports? To, you know, 180-pound men playing against my 110-pound daughter on this soccer field? No, that's not inclusion that's positive. Like, inclusion for inclusion's sake makes no sense. And I think it's spread, right, to the point where it's come to a neighborhood near you. This is no longer just a weird thing I saw on Fox News that freaked some anchor out. It's, we're all feeling it. So I think all those things in the culture war are inuring to the Republicans' benefit. And I think people with core Christian values and Judeo-Christian, like, I mean, our Jewish friends and our Muslim friends, they see it too. They're out, you know, we saw that in California with a bunch of Muslim parents out there saying, we're not doing this on the gender transition. No. So yeah, I do think that was a bridge too far, but I think the race stuff got pushed too far too.
Megan, Nickelodeon, speaking of children and protecting children, Nickelodeon has been in the news a lot recently. There's a documentary that came out. My wife was actually telling me about this over a cup of coffee this morning. And Megan, I'm so skeeved out and grossed out. Can you elaborate on what's coming out here?
I will never be able to watch this channel the same way again. Oh. My kids watch Henry Danger. They watch it on Netflix, but it was originally a Nickelodeon production. And I'm looking at it thinking, my God, who's behind that camera? Who shepherded the children from room to room? Because what we've learned from this documentary, and there are denials placed in the documentary and on my website if you want to read them in full, is that it was like a pedophile factory. Multiple men were arrested and in many instances pleaded guilty to charges of child pornography or inappropriate contact and touching of a minor. The guy who ran the whole place, he wasn't the CEO, but he was like the showrunner for their biggest hits, from the one with Amanda Bynes to iCarly, Josh and Drake. This guy was behaving allegedly inappropriately with women around every corner and making the children do sexual skits that the adults would really, like, there was a skit with Amanda Bynes where the character's last name was Taint. And he understood fully that this was a reference to an area of a man's body. And they thought it was hilarious to have this little girl go out there by the name, I can't remember the first name, but the last name was Taint. They thought it was hilarious. They had Ariana Grande, who got her start on Nickelodeon, on a bed, writhing sexually, squirting liquid all over her. They had her squeezing a fruit and almost, you know, masturbating this fruit, wondering why she couldn't get like the milk out of it. It absolutely disgusting things that, you know, the rest of us are leading our lives and not paying attention to this nonsense. But when you see it all strung together and you find out how many actual pedophiles were working at Nickelodeon, and not just working there, responsible for getting the kids from A to B, responsible for coaching the scripts on dialogue, like placed in the presence of children and responsible for their care. It's disgusting. It's stomach turning. And the fact that it happened with so many times shows you this company didn't give a damn about the actual protection of kids.
Ugh, I'm so grossed out. Be careful who you let around your kids, people. You can catch her on, go subscribe to her YouTube channel, youtube.com/Megyn Kelly. Megyn, you are the best as always. Talk to you soon. All right. Now, there was a funeral, a big one. Fallen cop. You've obviously read the stories. You've seen the news. It's freaking horrible. Wife, young son who will never know his father. Let's talk about that. What happened there, why it happened, in just a moment before we do that. The timeshare industry is a disaster right now. You probably know it. You probably want out of your timeshare. The costs are astronomical, the annual fees, the special assessments. You probably can't even get in anymore, and you're looking for a way out. Well, I want you to understand that Lone Star Transfer is your way out. You just have to make a phone call, and the phone call itself is free. Don't think you're going to call and just automatically get charged something. Call them. Find out what 20,000 plus people already know. Lone Star Transfer will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. They are successful 99% of the time. It's a family business. Stop agonizing over this timeshare, the fees. Honey, we can't afford. Unload that burden and call Lone Star Transfer. 844-310-2646. All right? We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, let's do something a little somber, very, very somber. Let's talk about this cop. Let's talk about the funeral over the weekend. Thousands of police officers on Long Island lined up to honor Jonathan Diller. Who is Jonathan Diller? He's the husband, father of a young boy who will never actually get to remember his dad. He's that young. He showed up as an NYPD police officer one day, and he never came back home that night. His wife will never see him again. His boy will never get to play catch with his father. He's gone. Why is he gone? He's gone because Democrats are communists. And communists believe in turning violent criminals loose in order to destabilize society. A destabilized society will, in general, turn to the government and give government more power to seek out safety. This is nothing new. Modern Democrats turning violent criminals loose is nothing, not some new invention of communism. The Soviets did this in the very, very, very beginning. They had massive prisons. Prisons full of murderers and rapists and robbers and a few political prisoners. Well, they didn't just open up the doors of the political prisoners. They opened up all the doors. And then they had all their judges. They had their legal people. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar. They had the legal people ensure that the violent criminals were given protections that normal civilians weren't. There are all kinds of famous stories about this violent criminal stabbing someone. If you defended yourself, you went to prison and he didn't. Why would they be like that? Why? Again, they want society terrified, afraid. I know it sounds diabolical, right? But this is how communism works. They want dead cops. They want murdered women. They want people afraid. They want society full of violent criminals, because in your fear, when you are afraid, you will agree to things that you would never agree to if you were not afraid. And now we have to watch eulogies like this. This is Officer Diller's wife at the eulogy.
My husband died a hero, but he also lived as one. Our world will never be the same, but I know I speak for everyone when I say I could not be more proud of him. It's been 2 years and 2 months since Detective Rivera and Detective Mora made the ultimate sacrifice, just like my husband, Jonathan Diller. Dominique Rivera stood in front of all the elected officials present today pleading for change. That change never came. And now my son will grow up without his father. I will grow old without my husband. And his parents have to say goodbye to their child. How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them?
I know. That's tough to watch, isn't it? And it's even tougher to watch when you pair it with a video like this. This is not from New York. This is from St. Louis. I want you to listen to who they're blaming for the violent crime in St. Louis.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations. So how can we hold those business owners accountable?
Sorry? Business owners. Maybe you're sitting there screaming at the TV, what's she talking about? It's not the business owners. No. She knows. She understands it's not the business owner's fault. The communist prosecutor understands when he takes that murderer and he lets him go without any bail back on the streets. He understands that he's likely to murder again. He knows. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. It's not just, oh, no, that's an unfortunate byproduct of my policies. It's the entire point. The truth is this. If you vote Democrat, you vote for rape and murder. Sorry, I don't care if that offends you. That is the platform of Democrats across the United States of America. Why do you think Joe Biden rolled into New York City and didn't even bother to pop into the funeral? He just went right to a fundraiser with Obama and then jetted out of town. Democrats side with criminals now. If that's how you vote, because that's how Dad always voted, then you're a moron who believes in rape and murder. All right? There you go. Vote for more rape and murder. Let me know how that works out for you. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, I mean, gosh, instead of physical protection, let's talk about financial protection for a moment. How in the world can you defend yourself against the Fed when they print money? What are normal people supposed to do? I don't know about you. I'm not in control of the Fed. I can't stop them. So what do we do? The only protection a normal person has against these evil people in the government is precious metals. Because precious metals and their value, it exists outside of our political system. Frankly, it exists outside of our country. It exists outside of time. And this is what I mean. If I hand you a sack of gold coins that you bought from Oxford Gold Group, and let's say you die and go away, we all will one day, you pass it down to your children. They die and go away one day. And then their children after them. That sack of gold coins, I don't have to know anything about your child or the era or anything. I know there's value in that sack. Go get a sack. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. Go get a sack of value. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, we've talked many, many, many times about the most dangerous thing happening in America right now. The most dangerous thing is the national security apparatus turning all of its guns inward. Right now, the national security apparatus of America has reoriented itself to be aimed at you, to be aimed at the political opponents of Democrats. And I don't have to tell my next guest that Dexter Taylor, known as Carbon Mike, had himself a little visit from the ATF. Okay, Dexter, before we get to the raid, why don't you tell us about yourself and all this dangerous weapons dealing you've been doing?
Don't start. Don't start that. Dangerous weapons dealing. So yeah, there was no dealing. There was no dealing of any kind. But yeah, backstory about me. I'm a lifelong New Yorker. Born and bred. I'm a 30-year veteran of the software industry. I have a squeaky clean criminal record. That's probably the most important thing to say. Never any problems with the police. I'm a licensed amateur radio operator, technician class. I'm sitting right now in the control room of the third recording studio I've built, the Switching Yard. I'm a conservative commentator online. For people who know me, they know my content on Twitter and so on and so forth. And I post as Carbon Mike. And so a few years ago, I became interested in gunsmithing. I found out that there were people who were taking what they called 80% receivers, legal parts that they bought, and attaching, machining them to completion in their machine shops, attaching parts and come up with finished weapons. And I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard of in my life. The coolest, the most traditional. And I couldn't wait to try it out because, again, ever since I was a kid, I've been kind of a nerd. I used to subscribe to Popular Science as a kid. I used to geek out about tanks and fighter planes and rifles like any red-blooded American kid. So anyway, a few years ago, I started getting into gunsmithing. I buy legal parts under my own name online, shipped to my house, no deceit, no subterfuge. I machine them to completion in my machine shop because I have a machine shop in my basement. I also build furniture and what have you. And I started with Glock style pistols first, made, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 of those. And then I made 8 very sexy AR style rifles. All this time, I never bragged about weapons. I never photographed weapons. I never brandished weapons. I never talked to people about weapons or about gunsmithing services of any kind. I didn't want to attract the wrong kind of energy. That's not what it was about. What it was about to me was starting my second career, hopefully, as a weapons science guy, bringing my experience as a data engineer, as a software guy, to weapons science. And we can talk about that later if you like. But long story short, I was doing all my stuff. I was a member in good standing of my local gun range. I had signed up for and taken a course to get my Utah concealed carry permit. I had signed up for an online course called Rocket FFL because I wanted to find out what I'd have to do to buy some land in Southern New Hampshire, get my FFL, and do this stuff for real. I was all in. In April of 2022, I was raided by a joint NYPD-ATF task force. They broke down my door, arrested me, took me off to Rikers, where I spent a week, obviously confiscated all my weapons and many of my tools. And the state of New York brought charges against me for criminal weapons possession. The ATF, by the way, appears to have disappeared shortly after the raid, so they're nowhere to be found. This is a state case, not a federal one. But long story short, New York State now wants to put me in prison for 18 years for felony weapons possession. Their contention is that I should have asked the state of New York for permission before quietly, peaceably, and privately exercising my Second Amendment rights in my home. None of my weapons ever left my house. None of my weapons ever so much as crossed the threshold. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's New York's contention. They want to put me away for 18 years. They offered me a plea deal, 8 years instead of 18. I turned them down flat. There was an informal plea in the air, informal offer in the air, for 5 years instead of 18. I turned that down flat, okay? I don't want to go to prison. I know it's a bad place. But I also know that I wouldn't so much as if New York State passed a law tomorrow that said Black people have to enter public buildings through the colored entrance, I wouldn't comply with that either. And if I did it and got arrested and they asked me to plead guilty to trespassing, I'd say, no, that's not criminal trespass. You're out of line. Do you see what I'm saying? So New York State is out of line here. We know this. Our governor is out of line here. We know this. She's behaving in a lawless way. That's not some secret. She said as much publicly. We don't care about the law. We don't care about the Constitution. We don't care about Bruin. we're going to do what we want to do. Well, very well, they can do what they want to do. If they want to lock me up, that's their choice. But I won't submit to it by claiming to have done something wrong. I did nothing wrong.
Dexter, I have two questions I just want to clear up before we let you go there, and I applaud you very much for your bravery and for fighting, just saying screw it. One, you said the ATF just disappeared. I would like to know where they went, because they don't just get to show up at your house and kick your door in and then say, oh, sorry, must have had the wrong address. We were looking for tacos, and take off. That's not how that works. That's one. And
I hear
two,
they're big on tacos.
And two, I would like to know, if these things have never crossed your threshold, as you said, you never bragged about them, you never photographed them, you didn't deal them, they're not part of your broadcast. You have an outstanding voice, by the way, for radio. I'm going to set that aside for the moment. How did they get wind that you had these things? Did you get sold out by somebody you bought them from?
Excellent question. That is exactly what happened. And by the way, I have a great face for radio, too, from what I've been told. Yes.
Me too.
The ATF drove the search warrant. So remember, this was a joint NYPD-ATF task force. So what happened is the ATF has been good. I'm not the only one this has happened to, by the way. The ATF essentially has been going around to parts manufacturers and demanding customer lists. Some number of those manufacturers complied. And then the ATF would go around to different local PDs and different states, basically, and say, hey, listen, you should go get this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. That's what happened here. In fact, NYPD has a unit that's dedicated to liaising with ATF in just such a way. So that's what happened. They drove the search warrant on me. And again, this is not a unique case, right? And they were there on the day of the raid, but this was New York jumping out on a New Yorker. That's what this was. I know you're short on time, but I should add that what is important about this case, I think, is not necessarily me, right? What's important is that people understand, look, you know, you mentioned very kindly that I do conservative commentary online, things like that. Conservatives need to get wise to the fact that living in red states will not save you. We are going to have to fight these people politically everywhere in order to be safe anywhere. So a lot of people say, well, get out of New York. You shouldn't have been in New York, what have you. It's like, listen, how can I be kind? That's loser talk, okay? Retreat is not a strategy, okay? And the people who want to do this to us don't have a minimalist strategy. You never hear communists or Marxists or progressives or Maoists or whatever you want to call them. You never hear them saying, hey, stay away from that state. It's too conservative. They want it all. We're playing for all the marbles. So forget about me for a second, right? I'll either win my case locally or I won't. And I'll either go away for a little while or I won't. But the fact is that American citizens who care about this stuff need to understand that we have to fight this as a people. Either we're serious about being a republic or we are not. Either our American cities are American cities or they're not. And that's it.
Well, wish you the best of luck, my brother. Dexter, thank you, man. All right. Lawfare, Wisconsin. What's going on tomorrow? Before we get to that, let's talk about this. Let's talk about protecting yourself no matter where you are, because the truth is there are a lot of blue places where you're not allowed to carry a weapon. So what do you do if you're there? What do you do? Well, let me tell you about Byrna, BYRNA, the non-lethal pistol launcher that will stop an evil man from hurting you or someone you love. And this is legal. I need to stress this in all 50 states. No background checks. No permits. You get it delivered to your front door. What is it? Whether you're a gun guy like me or someone who hates guns or not allowed to have them, it's a pistol launcher that shoots either pepper ball rounds or tear gas rounds. They will stop a bad man up to 40 minutes of incapacitation while you get away scot-free. I carry a weapon. I love having non-lethal. But no matter what, whether you carry or don't, get a Byrna pistol launcher. Unless, of course, you're prepared to fight off every evil person in this society in the parking lot tonight. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you a bunch of money. So go. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you planning on voting tomorrow? Now, maybe you're sitting there checking your calendar as I ask you that. Maybe you're looking at your watch. Tomorrow, I don't understand. It's only, see, that's the problem. You ask people about the election, you ask them when they're voting. They'll usually, especially if you're talking to a Republican, they'll say, yeah, voting Trump this November. And that's why we lose. People think there's one election every 4 years. I'll just vote for Trump to fix everything. There are critical elections going on across the country all the time. Tomorrow, Wisconsin has a big one, a couple big ones. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, Parker Thayer, investigative researcher, Capital Research. Okay, Parker, before we go into what's going on in Wisconsin, why don't you give us a little backstory on Zuckerbucks? What are you talking about?
Yeah, unless you've been living under a rock for the past 4 years, you've probably heard the word Zuckbucks before. In the 2020 election, billionaire Mark Zuckerberg decided that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he needed to provide about $400 million worth of private funding to public election offices to help them administer the election. There's been a lot of research conducted that's shown that this funding was distributed in a wildly partisan manner, overwhelmingly favoring heavily demographic districts, highly populated ones, and was used to boost the turnout in a way that affected the outcome of the election through the election offices that are supposed to be administering them. Wisconsin had a particularly disgusting display by Zuckbucks. Multiple county clerks resigned, or city clerks resigned, over the overbearing use of these funds, which they considered to be improper, and the overbearing influence of CTCL, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, grant administrators, which were highly involved in the conducting of the election and even had the keys to the room where ballots were stored. Now, Wisconsin has a ballot question coming up on a constitutional amendment to ban Zuckbucks in the future.
Okay, so what specifically were the Zuckbucks being used for that could get that many people to resign? It must have been pretty bad. What explain it to me like I'm stupid.
Well, what they said it was for personal protective equipment and to make sure that no one got COVID while administering an election. $400 million sounds a bit high to do just that and buy masks and protective equipment. What it was actually used for was conducting large, basically get out the vote campaigns, informing voters of, you know, how to vote by mail, how to request ballots, where to send them, where drop boxes, where text campaigns to make sure that they did all of those things. It was not something that the election offices really should be doing, especially not when it's being paid for by a private billionaire donor.
Okay, now what's on the ballot for tomorrow with the constitutional amendment? I doubt it has Mark Zuckerberg's name in there. Is it no outside group is ever allowed to what does it say?
Precisely. It says that no outside group, county election officials, city election officials, state election officials will not be allowed to request or use private funding in the administering of elections in the future. Now, the Wisconsin House and Senate both passed a piece of legislation that would have done exactly this, but Wisconsin's Democratic governor decided to veto that bill. Then the House and Senate reconvened and decided to create a constitutional amendment referendum, which will now be going live. And even as they vote on this referendum in the 2024 election, a group called Cities Forward, not CTCL and not Zuckbucks, is planning to do a similar thing with a $750,000 grant to the city of Milwaukee. Even as voters in Wisconsin will be deciding whether private funding will be allowed to be used in election offices. Election funding or private funding is already on the way to election offices.
Parker, I've sadly, I try not to be a cynic, but I've sadly come to expect losses in these kind of non-sexy races. I think back to the Ohio abortion constitutional amendment. The truth is Democrats do blocking and tackling. Republicans put bumper stickers on their cars. Are we seeing any kind of movement on the Republican side when it comes to this specific, very important race in this critical swing state?
I can't speak to what's going on in this particular election. I do know, though, that 27 states around the country have now banned Zuckbucks. This is an extremely popular issue for voters. It's a common sense issue. And I hope that common sense prevails.
All right. Let's talk about a story you've come on and talked about in the past for us, charities. Charities, nonprofits, that get involved in elections when they're not supposed to be getting involved in elections. Do you have any updates on that?
Yeah, I mean, if, for example, the organization that I mentioned that's sending $750,000 to the city of Milwaukee or planning to for the 2024 election, that's one of those classic nonpartisan charities, which its name is Cities Forward, and it claims that it just cares so much about civic participation that it's going to make sure that civic participation happens through election offices in only cities, which just so happen to be overwhelmingly Democrat. I mean, these nonprofits are overwhelmingly active. They're extremely powerful. They're probably the Democratic Party's super weapon in electioneering cycles. And you can expect that Cities Forward, maybe even the Center for Tech and Civic Life, and the nonpartisan Get Out the Vote industry, which is all operated through tax-exempt charities, will be highly active in 2024. Particularly in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, of course they will. Parker, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So we talk a lot about cultural issues as we go into lighten the mood here. We always will talk about cultural issues because culture matters. It matters a lot. It matters that our culture is rotted and pulling the way of the communists and not pulling the way of us, good people, the family. It matters. It does matter. It's important. And I'm 42 years old. I've watched for 42 years as the culture has only gone one way, to the left, to the left, to the left. There have been very few cultural wins for the right. But that's the bad news. The good news is we're getting better. We're developing teeth in our own way. You remember this sick freak Dylan Mulvaney and this Bud Light ad? Do you remember this?
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it.
You know, since that despicable ad, Bud Light has lost $1.4 billion. Look, is it everything we want? Of course not. You want to live in a country? I want to live in a country where things like that don't even happen. I understand. Everything you're saying right now is true. But man, you want to talk about corporate America being put on notice? You did that. You put your money where your morals are, and you did that. Feel good about something. Corporate America may not be on our side. They're certainly not, but they are on notice. We've got teeth now. All right? Feel better. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.